Well, welcome back to another edition of The Runaround here on Ralphie Report Radio as part of our new revamped podcast network. Be sure to like, subscribe to all of our programming here on Ralphie Report Radio and follow us online at RalphieReport.com and on Twitter as well to be sure to catch up to all our content. It's been a while since I recorded, actually not that long, but in the CU sports world, with everything going on, it feels like a while. I was out for the past weekend and thus missed the end of the NIT tournament. I was out of town for a little while, but I'm back now and better than ever, ready to talk about the end of the Buffs basketball season in the NIT. They had a good run at it. They made it to the third round, recorded the third most wins in program history, just a miracle for Tad Boyle, all things considered. I'll get into the end of the Buffs basketball season, talking about how things ended in the NIT tournament. Then, of course, is the football team is also back from spring break. I'll talk a little bit of spring football, kind of all speed ahead here to the between now and the spring game. There was a little bit of a break in the action with spring break going on. Some of the guys went back home. Others decided to stick around in Boulder and get some extra conditioning in. But I want to start first with the NIT. I'm going to go chronologically here. Colorado had a very impressive run of things in their first two games against Dayton and Norfolk State. Tongue twister. They did an excellent job against Dayton in a number of different regards. Out-physicaled them, outplayed them, and they were able to come away with a commanding victory in the first round of the NIT. Now, in round two, they caught a little bit of a break. I'm going to say so myself. A lot of people thought they would be traveling to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to take on the Crimson Tide basketball team. But somehow, some way, the Norfolk State team was able to come back from a 10-point deficit in the second half and leave there with the win. Probably putting an exclamation mark on another poor season from Avery Johnson, one that saw him pretty much run out of town there in Alabama. And the Buffs benefited from this because Norfolk State had to travel to Boulder as opposed to the Buffs having to take the road. They just destroyed Norfolk State in a number of different regards. I mean, that game was not even close pretty much at any point. By the end, the esteemed walk-ons for Colorado were able to take the floor, and it was just a really commanding victory in what would turn out to be the Buffs' final home game of the season. Really good game. Really good turnout, too. I want to give a shout-out to the crowd here, something that I haven't been able to do, quite honestly, all season long on Ralphie Report Radio. Despite the fact that most of the students were out of town for spring break, everyone in the Boulder area came out to show their support for a team that was playing in pretty much a consolation tournament. So good for the crowd there. But the game that really ended things on a sour note for me was the season-ending loss to Texas. I mean, Colorado just looked out of it from the start. I think that was the most concerning aspect of things. And, you know, while people are going to say the season was promising, you know, the season was good enough and they shouldn't be defined by one loss, and I do agree. I just think it was a bad way for them to go out, all things considered, considering how well they came back. I mean, even if they lost that game, the fact that they didn't even put up a fight at any point was what bothered me. I mean, the Buffs trailed 44-19 at the halftime, 25-point deficit, one they obviously could never erase. Just played abysmal basketball, shot 32% from the field, 23% from long range. Their shooting was just abysmal all night long. And hey, I mean, playing a bunch of games in a short span is not easy. You know, I don't want to blow this thing out of proportion and make people scared. Playing a lot of games in a short period of time is hard. But the fact that Colorado was completely unable to come out and put up a fight was just why I was very unhappy with the way the season ended. And look, they were out-physical, they were out-efforted, they lost this game in a number of different ways. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Texas was knocking down shots from all over the floor. They were running in transition, they were tiring the Buffs out. they played a good game. I'm not trying to take credit away from them, but Colorado's effort to close out the season was just abysmal, in my opinion. That was unacceptable. I mean, I still want to recap the season and look at it on the bright side, but you know, having things come down the stretch in this fashion, where they just pretty much, you know, had a wanker type game in their last game of the season, that's gonna leave a bad note in the mouths of Buffs fans up until they take the court next year. I don't think there's any question about that. But hey, there's a lot of promise with this team and this roster. I don't want to get too carried away here, and we saw it down the stretch with this team. Tad Boyle, pretty much going into the Pac-12 tournament, was set with a 7-man rotation that featured Batty, Bay, Wright, Gatling, Schwartz, and then some Seward and Kuntz off the bench. 7-man rotation. Down the stretch, some of the other guys, the secondary contributors, I'm talking about Alexander Stratting, Elijah Parquette a little bit on the defensive end, I was surprised, were able to show that they could make a mark on this team, and they weren't just, you know, end-of-the-bench type guys. So I think that has to be something that's also reassuring, just the sheer fact that this team does have depth and a lot of guys who contribute. Now, obviously, there's going to be a rotation of consistent guys who are going to be cycling in and out, but they do have that firepower at the end of the bench if Tad Boyle decides to use it with Stratting and Parquette. More so with Stratting, actually, you know, with all he can do on the offensive end of the floor. So I think that's something that's going to be really fun to watch with this team going forward, how Tad Boyle keeps all of these guys on a pitch count and how they kind of all fit in to the equation as pieces of the puzzle. Another thing that should be encouraging is the fact that this team is getting back Dallas Walton, the 7-footer, who's had three ACL tears, two on one knee at this point. So, you know, that's not good either. Let's not get it twisted here. I mean, you know, it's bad that he's been injury prone and hasn't been able to stay healthy. But if he can, and that is a big if, you know, that he could definitely be a contributor to this team. We saw him give DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick from last year, a run for his money when the Buffs faced off against the Wildcats 2 seasons ago now. So, you know, there is some good potential there. Additionally, I think just taking a look at the current roster as it stands right now, I think Evan Batty is a candidate to take a step forward. Foul troubles killed him, but we've seen that early on in big men's careers. I don't think that should be a reason for concern. I also think Shane Gatling, one guy who was kind of hot and cold and, you know, had some really good flashes at juncture of the season, is going to be another guy who I think could take a major step forward. Now, I want to also take a look at a guy the Buffs added a matter of hours ago right now, Maddox Daniels, a guard from the junior college level. Look, you look at this guy's intangibles on paper. He's 6'6", played at Florida Southwestern JUCO in Fort Myers, and, you know, fills the final scholarship spot in Tad Boyle's team. And, you know, it's just looking at this move, Naaemon Wright was supposed to be this bigger guard who could score a lot off the bench. And, you know, transferring from Mizzou, that was going to be his role on the team. And he just never took off. I mean, being completely serious, you know, injuries hampered him a whole lot. He never was, you know, the player that the Buffs thought he was going to be, or even that guy who was prolific and explosive and the person that was recruited out of high school by Tad Boyle. But, you know, having a bigger guard on a team that's traditionally smaller, especially in their front court with Shane Gatling and McKinley Wright, two guys who are sub 6 feet. I mean, Gatling's probably about 6'3", but Wright's 6'1 on a good day. So, you know, having a bigger guard and a conference that's less physical, I think is going to be good for this team, especially when you look at the fact that they have Bay and Batty to fill out their backcourt. So having another guard who can kind of shadow as a three, a small forward, I think is good because he can bring so much to the table with the jump shot, getting to the basket, opening up the rest of the floor for other guys. I like the potential of this kid that they're bringing in from the JUCO level. Also shot pretty good from the three-point line, which is something that Colorado struggled with this year. They shot 0.323% from the three-point line, which was the second lowest three-point shooting percentage in Tad Boyle's career as the head coach of CU. So, you know, that's an area where they can get better. Pretty much when they were trying to fill out their final roster spot in terms of scholarship, they were trying to get a guy who was going to fill need. And, you know, getting Daniels, I think they pretty much did just that. And I'm really excited to see how he fits in to Tad Boyle's team and their lineup. What's next for this team, though? Can they handle the expectations? And we're going to talk a little more about basketball, and then I'm going to move on to spring football. I know football is what everyone's looking forward to now with basketball season over, but on this episode of Ralphie Report Radio, I just had to recap all things basketball, considering I didn't get to do that on previous episodes. But looking ahead, if people remember the Buffs team from a few years ago with Xavier Johnson and George King and Wesley Gordon and Josh Fortune, that team, they faced major expectations coming into the 15-16 season, and they never met them. This team, after all they accomplished after a really bad start in 2018-2019, coming into 2019-2020, they are going to face sky-high expectations. No middle-of-the-pack garbage, no overachieving if they make the third round of the NIT. I'm expecting this team to record a top-4 finish next fall, slash winter, slash spring. I think that all things considered, they have two of the best players in the conference, and Tyler Bay and McKinley Wright. They have a pretty good supporting cast of youngsters who are expected to take a step forward, all of them, considering how young they were and, you know, how good they were at certain points in the season. But this team is supposed to be much better next year. I don't think there's any question or hesitancy about that. The Colorado Buffaloes should be a top-4 team in the Pac-12 next year, especially considering that Washington is going to lose a bunch of seniors, Oregon as well. Oregon State's going to be good. And ASU is going to be good again, but they could lose arguably their most important player in Lukon Stort. So all the teams in front of Colorado that finished ahead, that made the NCAA tournament, shout out to Oregon, who finished 6th in the conference, but made it to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament before being eliminated by number 1 Virginia, who, by the way, they gave a run for their money. I think, back to my earlier point, I just think Colorado is going to face higher expectations simply because all the teams in front of them are going to lose guys, and they're retaining all their young, talented players. So Colorado should be a much better team next year. Let's just cut to the chase. I do think they will be able to live up to those expectations as well because of the talent that's coming back. But they need to be able to keep a level head, and they need to get off to a better start. I don't think the Diamond Head Classic, looking at it in hindsight, I don't think that really killed their season, to be completely honest with you. I don't think that was, you know, when I look to a point where it points to where they struggled, I don't think that hurt them, because just looking at the non-conference schedule, even if they won 2 or 3 of the more games out in Hawaii, because of how weak their non-conference schedule is, I still don't think they would have been in the NCAA tournament. So that wasn't what killed them. It was their slow start in Pac-12 play, getting blown out to the Arizona schools, losing a tough nail biter to Washington State down the stretch, which hurt them. You know, it's those types of games where they need to come out stronger. There's 32 something like that games in a season, regular season games in a season. You're not going to play well in all of them. I understand that. I'm not questioning that. Don't get me wrong. But you do need to play better in the majority of games and do need to come out stronger when you're a veteran team. That's kind of what I'm getting at with the 2019-2020 Buffaloes. That is what they are going to need to do to live up to expectations, and they're going to need to keep a level head when they face adversity, which is something they did really well later in the season. After the tough loss against Washington State, they rebounded and won their final 3 home games. I don't think they do that earlier in the season. And there was a tough Utah team that they had to get over too. So you have to be impressed what they did in the face of adversity and their mental, more specifically, their mental toughness toward the end. But that's pretty much going to be the formula for success for the 2019-2020 Colorado Buffaloes team. And Tad Boyle said, you know, in his post-game press conference, we got beat tonight. We got outplayed against Texas. I don't think there was any question about that. They came a couple games, one game shy of getting to go to New York City and play in the NIT tournament finale. But hey, you know, all things considered, this was a very good season. People I've talked to around the program, some of his assistants, have been unequivocally impressed with the job Tad Boyle has done as the Buffs head coach. Really just incredible how he was, what he was able to get out of this team when, you know, they were pretty much left for dead at a certain point. So I think fans should be happy with this finish. Obviously, they wanted more, but, you know, this basketball program has kind of been in a place of mediocrity. Some years have been a little bit better. Some years have been a little bit worse. But this one was a lot better than most of the previous ones. So I don't think anyone can really sit back and complain about the situation. But as promised, everyone loves football. I don't think that's any doubt. That's something that, you know, all of our viewers and listeners, they all express an extreme interest in football. And let's not kid ourselves. Here at the University of Colorado, as good as and talented as the basketball program has been, and, you know, as impressive as they were down the stretch last year, it still is a football school. Football drives the train of revenue, and, you know, it's something that everyone loves. So I'm going to talk a little bit of spring football. Up until spring break, the team had some excellent days of practice. I want to get into some position changes and battles to keep an eye on. Obviously, I talked about running back last time, but I want to talk about the back end of the defense this time. This team has not missed a beat in spring practice, and I just get a different vibe from being around these guys. Every practice I've covered throughout the spring so far, it's just a different feel, and I can't really explain it in that regard, but I love the way this team is practicing, their intensity, how they've come to work every day ready to work. And listen, we heard that a lot under Mike McIntyre, but I get a different feel and a different vibe from this team. They are really hungry. They want to come and work hard every day, and they understand that every position needs to be earned, which is why they are busting their tails so much. They've put effort in the weight room, in the strength and conditioning portion of things. And now that the football part of the offseason or spring training part has been implemented, they've done a great job with that. So really impressive job with the football team, working hard to get better. They know they have a tough schedule this year, but the expectations are high. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. This team, you know, fell short last year with a pretty easy schedule, and they brought in the big-name head coach in Mel Tucker to turn this thing around, and being that the cupboard isn't bare, you know, having some superstar-type talent like LaVisca Chenault and other guys with potential like Nate Lamon, Mustafa Johnson, who seem to be on the edge of really breaking out and becoming superstars in the Pac-12 conference, there are high expectations, not to mention a fifth-year senior at starting quarterback in Steven Montez, who's in his third season as the starter. You know, there's enough talent on this team to go out and win games regardless of who the opponent is. And that's kind of something Tucker stressed to them. It doesn't matter who they're playing. It matters how they play. And if they go out there and do their job and they play their best game, they should see results in terms of an increased win total. Looking ahead at some positional battles, because this is really where the speculation starts to cruise up. I'm going to go into some things that I've seen at practice. Number one, the safety position is wide open. Obviously, we saw Darion Rakestraw and Aaron Maddox back there a bunch when Evan Worthington went down with an injury, and Nick Fisher was kind of being shuffled in and out of the lineup. But with both of those guys out of the picture now, you have Rakestraw, Maddox, Hassan Hippolyte, guy who's kind of been limited in spring ball because of an injury. And now I'm going to add a fourth guy to the equation who I've seen back there a lot during spring ball. Trey Udofia looks a lot bigger. He's been up and down at cornerback, had some nice moments where he's gotten past breakups and that type of thing. He's been gritty back there. As much as he's been picked on a little bit by some opposing quarterbacks, he's been gritty. He's worked hard. You know, he never backed down from a challenge or a bigger, taller, stronger wide receiver. But being that he has a combination of really good ball skills and situational awareness, paired with the fact that he struggled a little bit in pure man-to-man coverage, I think safety could be, you know, a really good positional change for them. Him. He might, you know, be able to come away with some turnovers, get some takeaways for this team. So I'm really excited to see what the future has for Trey Udofia. Now, he's going to have to beat out Maddox and Rakestraw. Rakestraw has been at receiver, corner, and now safety. He was good at times last year at safety, but he really struggled in run support, and he wasn't really a coverage guy that much back there either. Maddox, we didn't see him there a whole lot, but another guy that I'm excited to see. So there's going to be a really good competition at safety, and I think, you know, everyone's going to turn and look to running back because it figures to be a focal point of the offense with Jay Johnson. But let me just say this. I don't think people should be as worried about running back because there's likely to be a rotation there. And, you know, traditionally it's not as hard of a hole to fix. I think the safety position, especially given the fact that Evan Worthington, such a talented player, is gone now, I think that's going to be a much bigger void and a position that's much harder to learn. So look for the competition there between those four guys, Hippolyte, Udofia, Maddox, Rakestraw. It's going to be wide open. It's going to be intense. And I'm quite honestly excited to see what the future holds with all four of those guys battling for probably two safety spots. I mean, all things considered, one of them might sneak on the field as a fourth nickel corner or something like that. But you know, there's really going to only be two starting spots for four guys. Obviously, there's not that much competition, not as much competition right now in spring ball. You know, things don't really heat up, so to speak, until we get to fall camp. But actually, you know, taking back that point I just made with a new staff in place, a new scheme being implemented and all that good stuff, it's kind of been a little bit different as they try to get ahead of the curve and, you know, don't feel overwhelmed. Once fall camp comes around, they've actually had some more intensity this time around in spring ball. So it's really been fun to watch. Another position that's going to be interesting to watch, positions actually, plural, is going to be everything along the offensive line. Tim Lynott, who had an Achilles tear 2 years ago, kind of never was able to return to the form that we saw him in before the injury. He seems to be a lot more healthy. He's been worked out at guard at center and center. Kerry Cush, the junior now, who transferred from Butte College, is getting a look on the offensive line at guard. Colby Purcell looks to be bulked up at center, moving between guard and center as well. And then Will Sherman at left tackle is much heavier. I think he has sky-high potential. Really like what I saw him at points in last season. Struggled a little bit, but, you know, offensive tackle is another position with a steep learning curve. I don't want to form too much hype around the offensive line because in years past they have just really, really struggled when people talked about them being really good at the beginning of the season, so I want to wait and see with them. But I do think they should be better, and I'll tell you why. Because this year they're going to be much bigger physically, and I think that speaks to a lot when you're playing these teams that maybe aren't as physical in the Pac-12. And, you know, we've seen the Washingtons, the USCs, Utah have won in the trenches with these big physical monster human beings. And, you know, I really think that's kind of what Mel Tucker is looking to accomplish here. So I do think that the offensive line is going to be much bigger, better, simply because they're bigger. I jumped the curve there, but I think they'll be better because they're bigger and they're stronger and they're ready to keep up and out effort and out physical guys and out will them for pretty much the entire game on every snap. They're going to need to, because Steven Montez has taken somewhat of a beating in the past 2 years. The cornerback position, I also think, is going to be wide open. You have Dante Wigley, Delwick Abrams. Behind that, it's pretty much open. Even those two guys, we saw McKee Blackman at points, Ronnie Blackman, a guy who kind of was in the coach's doghouse a little bit, looks to get a new opportunity, a new life. He's looked really good in every practice I've been to. I think he should probably get maybe more playing time where, I don't know. Another development is Dimitri Stanley has back there been back there returning punts. I've seen him taking a few. Ronnie Blackman really struggled in that role last year, so maybe they take that responsibility away from him. See what he can do as a corner, because I think he has a lot of potential. Kevin George, another guy who it seemed like was kind of in the coach's doghouse at points last season. A corner who I think has a lot of potential. Big, strong, physical, really good ball skills, which I like. So they have a lot of good, talented players there. Now it's just going to be about bringing them up to speed, which is something that Mel Tucker has really just done an outstanding job of, especially as a cornerback coach by trade. Anyway, it's been a fun another edition of the Runaround here on Ralphie Report Radio. Be sure to stay tuned for new content. I'll be back the next couple of weeks, obviously. Just had a little bit of hiatus when I was out of town. So for Jack Stern, be sure to tune in next time.